Thanks again, Gabe, for being willing to share about the plan. I thought maybe we'd kind of start back, and I know that it's been a lot of back and forth updates over the past couple months. So could you maybe give a condensed version of kind of what we've seen happen throughout the school year and kind of, you know, bring it forward to where we are right now?
Yeah, sure. So I guess first we'll just, you know, when I got the position, you know, master plan discussion was definitely underway. There had been a master planning committee already made out of our business advisory group, which the master planning committee included teachers, business people, people in construction, parents, some administrators, so kind of a wide range of about almost 30 people in our master planning committee. And they had already done a lot of talk. I would kind of summarize a lot of their talk they had done with Dr. Tefts and the previous leadership team was, what is a master plan and why do we need one? So really kind of made it really a good opportunity then for me and our new team to take that and then move it into that next step, which is actually let's really develop a master plan. This school year, the master planning committee has met, I think at this point, five or six times, and we are meeting every, you know, 3 to 4 weeks right now. Our overall goal is to try and get a recommended master plan that would be fairly specific in nature in terms of what we would be building, what grade levels we would put in those buildings, and within reason, even specifics on location. Obviously, those can be tweaked a little bit as you get a little farther along in the process and learn more about topography and some other things, but, you know, that we would get to that point. So that's been our end goal to get there. There was a lot of discussion prior to my coming when they were starting the discussion of master planning on the neighborhood versus grade level school process or concept. So neighborhood schools, this is all really an elementary question, is most of the time you don't have grade level schools, you know, in your middle and high school. So, you know, there were definitely some community members that really liked the idea of neighborhood schools. A lot of the educators in our school prefer the grade level schools. But we really worked through that for the first couple master planning, meetings and really kind of got to a concluding point that I presented first in December and that I've said multiple times since, that the master planning committee is going to recommend grade level schools and not neighborhood schools. The real reason for that is a few. One, cost wise, it's much more efficient to have grade level schools because we'll need less of them. We're in a large community, and so neighborhood schools, to do it right, you're going to need several elementary schools. We also like the equity approach that putting grade levels together throughout the community does, instead of maybe having an elementary school in one area of town, demographically looking a lot different than, another elementary in another area of town. We also love the idea of the collaboration and professional development that it would have for teachers. And that's really crucial for us. Because right now, if we want to get all the second grade teachers together to talk about a new curriculum or maybe something related to test scores or challenges kids are facing, that's quite a proposition to get them together when it won't be when they're in the same school district or same school building. So that was kind of the first announcement that the master planning committee made was, they made the announcement to, go to grade level schools. Then, kind of more formally a few weeks ago on one of my tutor talks, which is kind of when I do kind of a YouTube video, once a week and just share some things about school district and really take an opportunity primarily to brag about our great students and staff, but I'll usually put some other things in there too. Mm-hmm. And I talked about the master plan and, the paper that I actually sent you today, that flyer or two, you know, front and back information sheet is really kind of where we are as of today. And that is that, we definitely feel that we want to build a middle school up on the high school campus, that we want to build a primary building at the Cornerstone site to connect to the south end of town, and also to utilize hopefully our early learning center or our preschool that has been remodeled in the past few years, so we're hoping our architect will be able to find a way to continue to use that piece of property. And then our third building, which would be our intermediate level building, just maybe grades 3 through 5, 4 through 6, 2 through 5, some sort of configuration there, as again, we haven't got all of the grade level stuff figured out yet, would be our third and final building. The other part of the master plan that I think is important to mention, Rachel, is that we technically are not going to do all this at once. So the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission, or the OFCC, which has helped us and others, hundreds of school districts throughout the state, build new buildings, we do qualify for funding from them because they came in a couple years ago and evaluated and not surprisingly determined that all of our buildings beside the high school would cost more to renovate than rebuild. Okay? And so we went ahead and signed up for assistance from them. And when we did that, you know, we did what we call the ELP program, which is the Expedited Local Partnership. So as soon as you want to engage with the OFCC, you can sign up and they'll put you on the list. If you are willing to wait until your number comes up, which usually takes anywhere between 8 and 12 years, kind of depending on the level of funding, because the OFCC can't fund and build schools, all the schools that want to build the same year. It takes about 8 to 12 years. So with what ELP does is we would build whatever we want to build. So we plan to build two schools. And we would build this. Let's say that cost $65 million. Okay? And then if the state's share, the OFCC share, is 33%, when your number comes up 8, 10, 12 years later, you're going to get a check, basically, or get a credit to build, you're going to get 33% of that $65 million back. Okay? So, in theory, what we're hoping to do is whenever it comes right. So, one of the questions that comes up is, when are you going to go ask the community to for money to support this new build? That has not been determined. That's not the goal of the Master Planning Committee. The goal of the Master Planning Committee is to create a master plan. Based on the feedback of the community and the needs of the community. After that, when the board approves a master plan, then the next question, which is more probably for the board and then community feedback, is when do we actually go out and do that process? But whenever we would do this, so if you would build those two schools, we would have to go fund. We would have to go ask taxpayers to build those two buildings, okay? 8 to 10 to 12 years later, whenever our number came up, they would give us back 33% of that. And our intention would be to use that 33% that we would get back to build the third and final building. So one of the ways that we kind of look at it, I don't know if I would call it, you know, three buildings for the price of two, but that's kind of the reality. We're trying to reduce the amount that we would have to ask the voters for when that time comes. And at the same time, maximize what we need, which is really creating three buildings to keep alongside our very nice high school to have a four-building plan.
Okay, I kind of see what you're saying, especially there at the end with, you know, maybe being able to front the build of the first two schools and then be able to come back later on with the funds from OFCC to build that third school.
Correct. And then, Rachel, one thing I'd want to add on that. So then this is where so people are like, well, okay, if you start only going to less schools, where are you going to put all your kids? Mm-hmm. So Edgewood Middle School, so two things on Edgewood. So we have federal money called ESSER, the ESSER funds from the federal government, that we are using – that can only be used for certain things, and they mostly are COVID-related, and so air quality is one of them. We are using some of those funds to put air conditioning and some improvements in that area at Edgewood to make it a more comfortable and useful building. And we're doing that with the reality is that Edgewood is still not a part of the 30-year master plan. but it's definitely going to be a building that will be used until that third building is fully completed, which could be 15 years from now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Edgewood may not stay the middle school for the next 15 years, but it will house kids for the next 15 years. Or 10 at least, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and since we're not using any general fund dollars, which is the money that really gets into your 5-year forecast and determines your financial position as a district. We're not using any, that money to improve Edgewood. So Edgewood is a piece of this puzzle for a portion of the master plan.
Okay. And that's where, yeah, like you said, using the ESSER funds stuff outside of the general funds to be able to make the school better and last longer while working through, these other buildings that hoping to add, replace them. Okay. Which, speaking on that, I did want to touch on, I know you mentioned Cornerstone, and I know that that particular building has a lot of sentimentality for some people in the community. So I'd love if you could elaborate a little bit more on specifically what might be happening to Cornerstone. I'm sure people have questions. Are you guys going to revamp it, or is it a complete new build? So I'm not sure if you guys have gotten to that level of conversation yet.
I think we're close. So there's two areas of the building that, if feasible, we would love to keep, but we don't know if we'll be able to, because again, the building is almost 100 years old,
mm-hmm.
and that is the Littlest General's Preschool, which has been recently renovated, and the main gym, as the main gym is used by so much of our community. The rest of the building will need to be torn down, because at this point, it's just not in a condition where we can really justify continuing to maintain it, but at the same time, the committee and myself definitely recognize the importance from a sentimental and just a kind of recognition of our community, of that building, that icon of our community, which one is one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why we want to ensure that we continue to have a school on that site.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we don't know if we'll be able to do this or not, but we have requested that our architectural firm try to create connection to the old building, whether that's maybe there's a look similar, maybe there's a certain facade that's similar, but we have made it very well known that that's an important part of our community and that we're really interested in trying to connect the history of the old Cornerstone to the new building.
Okay. So maybe kind of going off of that, so even if it doesn't maintain some of the parts of the building, like you said, maybe it'll have a similar look. So when people look at the new building, they'll see the remnants of Cornerstone and remember some of the parts of it.
Yes, that's our hope, that in some capacity there will be a historical connection or nostalgia that we can create by providing a new building that is efficient and 21st century learning while not forgetting the past.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of locations and going off of that, I know you had mentioned in some of the other locations, I know looking over the notes you sent me, haven't necessarily been determined quite yet, but one of the locations that you guys are currently looking at is around the high school, correct? So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the other locations for the other, I think, two buildings, if I'm doing the math right.
So I think there is no question we will build a middle school at the north end on Oldman Road. The reason for that is the curricular and extracurricular connections between a middle school and high school that make that so important. We have not determined if that's a 7 and 8 building or a 6, 7, and 8 building. We're about a 5-7 building. It is likely going to include the 8th grade, though, as we kind of want to at least prepare at some point, if needed, for future growth in our community. And if we're going to have future growth in our community, we can't continue the 8th grade in our high school. It fits now, but if we have growth, it wouldn't. So that building, for sure, will go on the north end by Oldman Road. And so that, if you're an 8th grader that's taking biology because of maybe your science aptitude, you could walk and you could take biology and still go back to the middle school and be a middle schooler. Okay. The third building is the building that we have not determined really. We have a couple options that mm-hmm. we've talked about for it. And the two main options, and there could be more, but it would be either on the Parkview site, where I think there is some desire to possibly try to connect even more to, the more, not just all on the north end. And we have that land. At the same time, we also know that we're working through that because there would be some traffic concerns and other things. So mm-hmm. Parkview has been explored a little bit for that intermediate elementary school, that 3-5, 2-5 building.
Mm-hmm.
Or probably if it didn't go there, most likely it would go up on Oldman Road as well, on the high school campus.
Okay, so I can kind of see where the layout would be across the area. Okay. And yeah, I was going to say, I know the third building, that 2/3-5, that's the one that's still trying to determine, the parameters and what works best for both, the schools and, the community. So I can see where that one's going to continue to be a conversation that's worked out.
Yeah, and again, partly because, too, that's the last building that will be built for two reasons. One is because the middle school, we know we need to build that on the high school site, and we'll use land that's available there. The cornerstone is important because the building, is aging. And since Edgewood is available, the intermediate building probably has the most flexibility from a time standpoint as well.
I see. That focusing more on, like you said, the younger elementary level in the cornerstone build, and put the middle school, putting it on the high school land. But since Edgewood is going to be getting those revamps with the ESSER funds and, getting that AC and stuff like that, the building will have a little bit more life, so that third building that'll house the later middle school years, the 2nd through 5th possibly, they'll possibly be able to be housed at Edgewood for some time, it sounds like.
Yes.
I think we kind of touched on this a little bit, and I appreciate you brought it up, the timeline. I know that's the big question a lot of people tend to have is, okay, well, when are we looking that these changes might be happening? And it sounds like definitely still in the planning phase, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing this plan right now because we know that it's a So it's not something that, we intend to put on the shelf for 10 years, right? But I don't want to commit to saying that we're ready to do it. I think that's the next step that we've got to, discuss, But we're having the discussion because there is such a need for facility improvement.
Yeah, and coming up soon, but like you said, not necessarily like this next school year that we're going to start seeing breaking ground and those kind of things, right?
We haven't really had that discussion. It's not impossible that it wouldn't be breaking ground. I mean, there's quite a process before that. I mean, the first step will be determining when we need to go out and discuss this with the voters. And then that really starts the process.
Okay. So I guess kind of going off of that, if people are following, the continued progress that you guys are making and updates on where things are coming along, what can people, expect to see as kind of the next couple steps, or if there's anything that they as community members or parents can help be a part of the discussion at any point? What's kind of that next step that we're looking at?
Yes. Great question. One, on our website, we have a tab at the top dedicated to the Master Planning Committee. And if you click on that tab, you're going to see meeting minutes from previous Master Planning Committee meetings. You'll also see the informational kind of current two-page flyer right now that we have that kind of shares kind of where we're at in our process and our thinking, which is a lot of what I've explained to you today. And then the other thing we're going to do, and actually, Rachel, we're going to start having here in the month of March some informational opportunities for people, really informal, not really a situation where they're going to come and I'm going to give them an hour presentation, more like, hopefully people have looked, maybe read our flyer, those kind of things, and have some questions or concerns or things they'd love to hear more about, and just give opportunities for, our community to, you know, to ask questions and give feedback. So that's kind of our next step. I'm going to be speaking at some of the community organizations, Rotary, Kiwanis, Lions, and the PIT next month as well. But, you know, also want to provide other opportunities. We'll do some of those during school and some of those after school. I know, you know, parents have multiple different schedules.
I totally understand also, like you said, offering multiple times for these kind of conversations, you know, since people have different schedules, so that but that way they can still feel like they're a part of the conversation and get any questions they have answered, because this is definitely that next big phase for Worcester City Schools, so I can see why a lot of parents have questions and want to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, it's exciting, but we, you know, we also know that this is, you know, a big community decision and really will help shape our community, and so we want to make sure that we, you know, we get their feedback and that people feel heard and have their questions answered.
Yeah, I can especially imagine, you know, like you had mentioned, when it gets to the point that the committee, you know, or the board, you know, that next step of going to the community and maybe asking for that funding, that's where, you know, I'm sure they'll want to know what they're being asked about. So having that communication along the way, I can understand, is only immensely helpful for both ends of the conversation.
Very true, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm looking over my questions here, and I think those are really most of the questions I had, you know, kind of touched on a lot of kind of where we've seen it come over the school year, you know, where we're at now and what people can expect moving forward. Is there anything else you'd like to add about, you know, where things are going and how they're coming along?
No, I don't think so. I mean, like I said, we're really excited about it, and we're trying to be very thoughtful. The committee has been had really good conversation thinking about this very critically and the pros and cons of different things. So appreciate their willingness to do this for us as well.